Welcome to the Relatable Finance Podcast. Here are your hosts, Joseph Carl and Shane Phillips.
A lot of the topics for episodes come from frequently asked questions we get from clients, podcast listeners, and friends about where they should be putting money, because there are so many options, 401ks, 529 account, brokerage accounts. And we get a lot of questions about debt. Should they have it? Is it good? Is it bad? How much should they should have? So today we're going to talk about all those things because they're great questions. And when it comes down to it, we all only have so much disposable income, and finding the correct places to maximize our wealth is a big decision. So we're going to create a fictional family today and address some of the biggest mistakes we see them making, as well as some of the biggest opportunities they may have but are missing. The idea is to have a well-thought-out plan for where your cash flow should go.
Yeah, so let's start out with some information on this family, who we will call the Garrity Bunch. Married couple in their mid-30s, one kid who is two with a second on the way. As you can see, this Garrity Bunch is still blossoming. Both employed by large corporations and have 401ks with a total of around $125,000. Both put in 15% of income because they read 10% is what you should put in and want to do a little bit more. They also know that they get some sort of company match.
So the Garrity Bunch also has some debt. They have debt in three areas. They have some student debt still lingering of about $30,000. Interest rate there is about 5.75%. They do own their home, but they have a mortgage of $200,000 at 3.75%. And they carry a monthly balance on their credit card of about $4,000 a month at an interest rate around 20%.
Yeah, they also have bank accounts that are currently at $70,000. They laugh every month that they only get around $1.25 in interest. They also have entirely separate $30,000 put into an emergency fund. It's only gone up by about $20 or $30 in the last few years. Finally, they have an HSA account with $500 in it.
They do have some goals. So when we talked to them, they wanted to help send their kids to college. And they would like to buy a small lake house for summer vacations in the semi-near future. So once again, we're going to be focusing on cash flow. And when we set up that story, Joe, what were some things that jumped out at you immediately?
So first off, these are the Garrity Bunch is obviously great savers. But there's one glaring problem, which is the credit card debt. Given how much they have in savings, there's absolutely no reason they should carry any type of credit card balance. In fact, there's very few situations where you'd want to carry over a credit card balance. While Shane and I may have some differing opinions on some things that we discussed today, this is a no-brainer. Transfer the cash from savings and pay off the credit card.
100% agree. Like you said, there's very few situations when you should be carrying a credit card balance. I understand if it's a couple of months, something comes up, whatever the case is, but if you're repeatedly or continuously carrying a balance on that card, you probably need to look at your spending decisions, because the interest you're paying is just going to have a downward spiral and you're just going to get yourself buried.
Now, if the Garrity Bunch did not have the cash in savings, and more specifically did not have $30,000 in emergency fund, which I don't think we mentioned earlier, is roughly 6 months of their living expenses, I'd say they take a more balanced approach going forward. Whatever excess cash flow they have each month, I'd focus on splitting evenly between building up that emergency reserve and also paying down the high interest credit card debt. Agree with that, Shane?
I do agree with that. And it is a lot of different situations. It's going to depend on your personal situation, but really, long story short, try not to be carrying that balance. And as bad as carrying that balance is for the Garrity Bunch, one area that they have done an outstanding job is the emergency fund. So this is definitely one of the first areas we recommend when you're building up assets. Since this is set aside for emergencies and you could need it at any time, we definitely want this to be liquid. But in their situation, they're not making much money on it. So right now, there are some possibilities in the investment markets where you can earn some money, but also have it be very liquid.
Yeah, so this is an area that has really changed over the past 12 to 18 months. But today, you can get around 2% or so in various types of savings vehicles or even a money market account. These are highly liquid, very safe and secure types of vehicles. Given the amount that they have in savings, they are foregoing around $400 a year in interest. Again, it's not much, but these things add up over time.
100% agree. I love those little things that just add up, and then all of a sudden you have some extra money. Let's take a look at some of those other debts. So like I said, they have student debt and a mortgage. So debt isn't a bad thing, and if used correctly, it can be great. Not many people could afford a house if they had to pay all cash, and thus mortgages are a big part of a lot of people's lives. But too much debt or debt at a high rate isn't good. In episode 15, What to Do with a Financial Windfall, we looked at debt and came up with some strategies around when you should pay it off versus when you should carry it and invest in other things. In this case, the fact that they have an emergency fund and extra cash in their bank account earning next to nothing, we think they should definitely have the ability and should probably pay off that student debt because the rate of 5.75% is quite high.
Yeah, so in this case, if they plan to do nothing else with those dollars except keep them in savings, I would 100% agree that paying off the debt or the student loan debt is the right choice. Again, money market accounts are earning around 2%, and interest on student loans in some cases can be tax deductible, but let's assume in this case that it's not, so we can compare apples to apples from an interest perspective. By paying off the 5.75% student loan debt, they save $1,725 in interest. By taking it out of savings account and foregoing the 2%, they lose or no longer have the $600 in interest they would have earned. But that's a net savings of $1,125. That's not going to make you rich overnight, but any chance to save $1,125 with little to no negatives or costs is worth it, in my opinion.
Definitely. I love these little baby steps, like I said. So let's assume that they did pay off that student debt with the money in their bank account, which leaves them with $40,000. They don't need all of that for working capital to pay off bills and mortgages and credit cards because they have income coming in. So let's say we're going to take $20,000 of that and we can do something else with it. There's lots of different options, but one of the first ones that come to mind are that they have a young child with another one on the way, and kids are very, very expensive. So using that money to beef up their emergency fund could make some sense.
Very simple and sensible, Shane, but also kind of boring. They mentioned wanting a lake house at some point in the future and also wanting to save for college education. Let's say they are aiming for 6 to 8 years in the future for a down payment. That $20,000 could be set aside for a down payment, and with a decent time horizon invested into a portfolio for growth, earning a modest 6%, in 7 years, they would have over $30,000 for a down payment.
It does sound interesting and attractive, the lake house. And earning a decent rate of return like that would definitely help getting that lake house. But another option they have would be if they had the ability to save in a triple taxed optimized account for healthcare expenses. If I were to tell you that was an option, is that something you'd be interested in?
Triple tax optimized account? I'm so excited I can barely contain myself.
As you can tell, Joe is very excited about this, and we're both financial nerds, so things like this do excite us. What we're talking about is an HSA account, or a health savings account. This is an account you can use for healthcare expenses with certain healthcare plans. The Grady's currently have one, but they don't have a very big balance. In these plans, you can save up to $7,000 a year for a family. Where the triple tax benefits come in is the money goes into the account before taxes, much like a 401k contribution. You can invest the money while it's in the account, and as long as you use it for medical expenses, it comes out tax-free.
I mean, this is the blossoming Grady bunch, and with all those kids, there's going to be some sort of medical expenses. Assuming they're in the 25% tax bracket, contributing $7,000 also saves them $1,750 in taxes alone. And even if they don't use those dollars for medical expenses, worst case scenario is that the dollars are taxed as ordinary income when withdrawn. It's also important to know that you don't have to do this every year, so if you decide to do it 1 year, you don't have to do it the next. But at this point, with all these good decisions and hard work, I really want the Bradys to have the lake house.
So let's get back to the lake house. It does sound amazing once again. And they also talked about college. So when we look at this, where we're going to fund these potential things from, I start to look at their 401k. They're doing an outstanding job saving in their 401k, and they're getting that company match. So the 401k may actually be doing too well.
Yeah, I mean, with each saving 15%, they're both getting the company match. That's doing pretty good. And I wouldn't, you know, necessarily discourage reducing their savings, but at this point, they have a number of objectives and they could prioritize. Depending upon which goal is more important, they could decrease saving for retirement while still getting the full match, and saving the remainder for one or the other, or a combination of the two, and then adding consistently to both moving forward.
like Joe said, we're not discouraging retirement savings, but they are doing a really good job of it. And if those other things are priorities, it's definitely an area that they could cut back a little bit, still be getting that match, like you said, but start putting money into a 529 account and towards that down payment. So definitely another option they have. Hopefully some of these situations helped you out or at least got you thinking about some of these little areas that you can earn additional money or at least not be paying additional money for some of these debt cases. We all have a lot of goals, retirement, college education, lake houses, whatever the case may be. At the end of the day, it's about deciding which ones are a priority and moving capital into those areas. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Relatable Finance. As always, if you have any questions, please don't hesitate to email us at podcast@provwealth.com or check us out on Twitter @financepodcast.
Provenance Wealth Advisors is not a registered broker-dealer and is independent of Raymond James Financial Services, Inc. Securities are offered through Raymond James Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered through Provenance Wealth Advisors and Raymond James Financial Services Advisors, Inc. Any opinions are those of Relatable Finance Podcast and PWA and not necessarily those of Raymond James. The information contained in this report does not purport to be a complete description of the securities, markets, or developments referred to in this material. There is no assurance that any of the trends mentioned will continue or forecasts will occur. The information has been obtained from sources considered to be reliable, but Raymond James does not guarantee that the foregoing material is accurate or complete. Any information is not a complete summary or statement of all available data necessary for making an investment decision. Does not constitute a recommendation. Investment involves risk, and you may incur a profit or loss regardless of strategy selected. Diversification and asset allocation do not ensure a profit or protect against a loss. Investing involves risk, and investors may incur a profit or loss. Raymond James does not provide tax or legal services. Please discuss these matters with the appropriate professional. Past performance does not guarantee future results. Future investment performance cannot be guaranteed, and investment yields will fluctuate with market conditions. Any examples given in the podcast are for illustration purposes only. Actual investor results will vary.